Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska's U.S. senators split yesterday on a vote to stop President Trump from redirecting military funds to build a border wall. Alaska Public Media reports that Lisa Murkowski was one of 11 Republicans who voted for a resolution to reject Trump's funding shift. Senator Dan Sullivan voted with the majority of Republicans against the resolution. Alaska has four projects worth $102 million that would be delayed in favor of the wall. The projects include an upgrade to a weapons range and power plant repairs at Eielson Air Force Base, as well as an expansion of a missile field at Fort Greely. Sullivan is normally a big proponent of increasing military assets in Alaska, but he said earlier this month that shifting the money to the southern border is in the national interests. Murkowski, in a statement, said she shares the president's legitimate concerns over border security, but voted to uphold the separation of powers. The Constitution gives Congress the power to appropriate funds, and Murkowski points out that Congress decided to spend the money on military construction projects. The House is likely to pass the resolution today. Trump is expected to veto it, as he did when Congress sent him a similar measure in March. A resolution rejecting more limits on breweries and distilleries is in front of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly tonight. As KUAC's Robin reports, it would be sent to the State Alcoholic Beverage Control Board.
Under Alaska law, breweries, wineries, and distilleries with tasting rooms are defined differently than bars and restaurants that serve alcohol. Tasting rooms are limited in the number of servings they can dispense to customers, and they're prohibited from having live entertainment, TVs, pool tables, darts, dancing, video games, game tables, or, quote, other recreational or gaming opportunities, unquote, according to current regulations. Now, new proposed regulations are adding more restrictions. A Borough Assembly resolution rejecting the new limits is sponsored by Assembly members Leah Berman-Williams and Marna Sanford. Berman-Williams says distilleries and breweries in the interior are a growing commercial segment.
I was very concerned that these regulations were going to crush our local businesses that have become important parts of the economy.
The Alcohol Beverage Control Board, or ABC Board, has drafted new restrictions on tasting rooms prohibiting festivals, competitions, classes, public parties, or presentations, particularly if they're publicly advertised. Some Fairbanks tasting rooms are already hosting events in these categories and would have to stop if the ABC board adopts the new regs.
The regulations would prohibit First Friday exhibits in these tasting rooms. It would even prohibit, if my understanding is correct, it would prohibit the breweries and distilleries from allowing tours of their facility to people that were interested in what they do as part of their business.
Berman-Williams wants the Assembly to pass the resolution and send it to the ABC board before its next regular meeting, November 12th, in Anchorage. The new regulations were drafted to further distinguish tasting rooms from bars and pubs, but they've recently been criticized by the Alaska Cabaret Hotel Restaurant and Retailers Association, the most prominent lobbyist for the alcohol industry. Tonight's Borough Assembly meeting begins at 6 p.m. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Movement of a slope along a section of the road into Denali National Park is accelerating. The area near Milepost 45 through Polychrome Pass was built over an historic landslide back in 1930 and has suffered periodic road closing slides since. But Park Resources team leader Dave Schierkauer says monitoring indicates the slip rate is increasing
to about 1.5 inches per day.
Schierkauer says that's significantly more than it was moving just a few years ago.
Last year, it was about 0.5 inch per day. A couple of years ago, it was about 0.25 inch per day. And then prior to that, it varied a little bit depending on the year. But it's never been as dramatic as it is currently.
Schierkauer says if the current slip rate continues over the winter, there will be a 20-foot drop-off on the east end of the 300-foot-long slide zone by next spring. He says the Park Service just completed installation of new slide monitors to better gauge movement of the slope. He says reflects a few factors, including warmer, wetter weather and thawing ground.
We do know that there's ice-rich permafrost under the landslide, but this will allow for a more detailed mapping of the permafrost.
Schierkauer says they're also looking at the stability of bedrock on either side of the slide, as it may provide an anchoring point for a bridge.
One of the options under consideration is to build a cantilever bridge over the landslide area.
Schierkauer stresses planning is in a very early stage and that other possible solutions include shoring up the road with more frost-resistant gravel, realigning it below the pass, or ending the road short of the pass.
Ending the road at East Fork Bridge, which is the base of Polychrome. That's where a turnaround probably could be constructed.
Meanwhile, the agency is considering keeping the road open a little longer this fall to provide residents and business operators in the Kantishna area at the end of the 92-mile road some additional time to access their properties while the section through Polychrome is in good condition. The American Civil Liberties Union is threatening to sue the city of Nome over the police department's handling of the alleged rape of a former police dispatcher. KNOM's Emily Hofstetter reports.
The ACLU says Ms. Hardy is willing to settle her claims against the city for $500,000 in order to avoid ongoing litigation. The news was released to Nome City officials on Tuesday morning in an email and letter. The ACLU is prepared to file a civil action against NPD and the city of Nome for Ms. Hardy's losses and potentially other Alaska Native women. Hardy has been public about being sexually assaulted in March of 2017. Part of that encounter was allegedly recorded on Snapchat and viewed by Hardy and several friends. She says she immediately made a written report to her then colleague, Lieutenant Nick Harvey.
And every time that I would ask, I'd get the same answer as to, I'm still working on it.
That's Hardy speaking with KNOM earlier this year about the incident. She says that after a year of hearing nothing from Lieutenant Harvey, she went to then Nome Police Chief John Papazadora, who she says didn't know about the case. After she refiled her report, Papazadora allegedly told her that he would send her case to the Alaska State Troopers. Hardy says months later, when she called to ask about her report's status, AST had nothing on file. According to the ACLU's letter, by the time the troopers conducted an investigation, they were unable to get a hold of the Snapchat evidence. The ACLU claims that Lieutenant Harvey's failure to do a thorough investigation has resulted in, quote, the loss of corroborative, objective evidence of Ms. Hardy's allegations.
That's the reason why I left Nome, is because I was really didn't feel safe.
Interim City Manager John Handelin confirmed that he did receive the ACLU's demands. His response by email late Tuesday morning said, quote, the city's efforts to improve community policing and sexual assault investigations in particular have been well publicized. The city continues to welcome public input on this process, but will not comment on any particular matter or investigation. End quote. Current Nome Police Chief Bob Estes does not answer questions about Hardy's case, but told KNOM by email in May that her report and questions were being handled by the district attorney and the Alaska State Troopers. Since then, the Nome Police Department has been doing an audit of old sexual assault cases. On Monday night, Chief Estes updated the City Council on some of their discoveries.
There is a problem in case management, a problem in follow-up, a problem in lack of personnel, a problem in training.
Megan Edge, the communications director for ACLU Alaska, says that Hardy was not just traumatized by the assault, but re-traumatized by her experience with the Nome Police. Edge says Hardy deserves justice and compensation. But for the ACLU, this is about more than justice for Clarice Hardy.
Striving to ensure that all Alaska Native people and Alaska Native women are ensured their equal rights.
The ACLU has given the city until October 11th to accept the offer of settlement with Clarice Hardy. Reporting in Nome, I'm Emily Hofstetter.
And I'm Dan Bross.